Now we're turning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And let's unite together, please, at the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We bless Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee for taking care of us. We bless that every day the Lord puts His hand upon us. O God, where would we be if it wasn't for Thy care and providence that is given to us every day? And we bless Thee for all Thy marvelous blessings. Lord, bless us again. We thank Thee, Lord, that when we come to Thee, Thou dost not ever come to the end of the needed resources. We bless Thee, He giveth and He giveth and He giveth again. And, O God, we come to Thee asking for the portion for us again as we meet around Thy Word. Bless and help us and do us good around Thy Word, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. In the portion of Scripture that we read there, the disciples had just returned from their preaching tour. If we look in Mark chapter 6 there, it says that He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And if you look in verse 12, it says that they went out and preached that men should repent. And they had a great success in doing that. And we read that even Herod, the king, heard about what had taken place. Look at what it says in verse 14. And King Herod heard of Him, that is of Christ, for His name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works to show forth themselves in Him. And we're told that the disciples had great success. They were able to cast out devils and preach the gospel, and many came and put their trust in the Lord and repented of their sins. And you can imagine what great excitement they had as they went back to tell the Lord Jesus about all that had taken place. And it seems that the Lord hardly even listened to them, because He knew what they needed. They needed rest. And He says to them in verse 31, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." And He knew what was best for them. Maybe they thought that with all their excitement they could go on, they could do more. But the Lord says, "No, you need a rest." And so they depart across the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord brings them to the place of rest. But as the Savior went across the Sea of Galilee, the people began to follow Him. And they ran round the lake shore. And when the Savior arrived on the other side, there was a vast throng waiting for Him. And I want you to notice the attitude and the reaction of the Savior to the multitude. Now, many people in that situation, where they were trying to get away and have a rest, would have reacted with irritation at the very least, maybe even been angry with the multitude that wouldn't even give them a bit of rest. But we read in verse 34 what the Lord Jesus' reaction was to the multitude. He says, or it says, He was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things. And thank God the Savior wanted to teach these people, wanted to help these people, and He is a God of care. He does care for us. He cares for the multitudes. He cares for men and women. Men and women here today, He cares for you. But I want you to see here that even in the midst of the Savior speaking here, and in the midst of this great throng, there arose a problem. Look at what it says in verses 35 and 36. It says, "And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.'" Now here's the Lord Jesus, full of compassion. He's speaking to the men and women. And this is the Savior. This is the greatest preacher that ever there was. But even with the Lord Jesus, there were problems. Problems sprung up. Problems came in the ministry. And the problem here, and the difficulty that arose in the work here, was that the people had nothing to eat. And there were natural physical problems that were arising in the midst. And don't we see here that even in the best of ministries, and even in the most favorable of circumstances, there are going to be problems. But I want you to see how the Savior faced the problems and faced the difficulties here. Now the disciples here had solutions. They had some kind of solution to the problem. They said, send the people away because they can go and get their own things to eat. Their solution was to send the people away. You know, there are many people here, or many people, not here, but people in Christendom in general, that have many solutions to the problems that we face in the church and in the work of God today. And many of those solutions, in effect, send people away from Christ. Now, maybe the most obvious example is of that, maybe we could take Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham has thought that by getting people together and even bringing the liberals in to his evangelism, that he can get people in onto the sound of the gospel. And he's facing the problem of the decline of the interest of people in the gospel today. And his solution is, well, let's have a big organization, let's have plenty of money, and let's bring everybody together, and we can solve the problem that way. But by bringing in the liberals and identifying himself with the liberals, what he in effect is doing is compromising the gospel, and in the end what he's doing is sending the people away from Christ. Because they see no difference between the liberal gospel and the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, if these men are prominent in the missions, and if these are the leaders of my church, what's the difference between them and the gospel preachers that there are? And the effect of all that is to send people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many other people who have come with different solutions to the problems that we face in the ministry. There are those that have said, well, let's have a little bit of entertainment and bring the world's entertainment into the church. And it's the same thing. They are sending people in effect to the Word instead of bringing the Word in. Well, the Word does come in to a certain extent, we've got to say that. And they can point to their numbers and they can point to their vast crowds. But at the end of the day, they are blurring the lines. And what they're in effect doing is sending people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was not the Lord's solution to the problem. The Lord says, give ye them to eat. He says, you take them and you give them the bread that they want. You have the bread to give them. And you distribute that bread to them and you have the solution. Depend upon me. Now that was the Lord's solution for this situation. And so as we look at this portion of Scripture, really, what we have is a template, is a model of how we face the difficulties that there are in the ministry and in the work of God. What should we do? We might have many solutions, but we've got to have the Lord's solution. Now I want you to see what the Lord's solution is today. Notice the disciples, as the Lord showed them the right way of dealing with the difficulties they faced. And there are a number of things that I want you to see about the disciples as we look at them in this portion of Scripture. Now the first thing I want you to see is the problem they faced. Now the problem they faced was the vast multitude that were hungry. We're told in verse 44 that there were 5,000 men that were present. And Matthew tells us that was beside women and children. So there were probably about 25 or 30,000 people here, and they had to give them food. Now you can imagine the vast amount of food that you would need to feed 30,000 people. What a vast amount of resources that were needed. And as time went on, the need was becoming more and more pressing. The crowd here were lingering, they were listening to the Lord Jesus. And at first, their hunger wasn't a great thing, but as time was passing, so that hunger became more and more needful. And they were in a desert place, and this was dangerous with the climate there and all the beating of the sun and the cold that there would have been at night. It would have been a dangerous thing for them to be without food, to be weak in any way in such a harsh climate. They needed their food. And so the Lord knew and the disciples knew that there was a need here, and that need was coming. And they said, "We have nothing. We have nothing to give them." And the Lord, even when he told them to go and look for something, there was only 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And they said, "This is hopeless." And I want you to see the problem here. Notice that the supplies were too meager. Look at verse 38. And he says unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And the supply was too meager. This was just all that a little boy could eat. And you know, when we look at the mission field today, we can say to ourselves, the supply is too meager. When we look at the church today, we can say, we haven't enough resources. We haven't enough people. We haven't enough money. We haven't enough talent to be able to go out there and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say to ourselves, the supply is too meager. And you know, that is one of the reasons why the ecumenical movement was born. Because people said the supply is too meager. You know, because the ecumenical movement started on the mission field. And people, when they looked at the resources, they said, the supply, the resources are too meager, and we're competing one against another. And it's not good that the resources are being divided. Let's get all the resources together. And all the missionaries will work together, and we will all pull together, and in that way, we will have a solution to the problem. Again, it was man's solution. It seemed to be a good solution. It seemed to be very sensible and very logical to do that. But they said, the supply is too meager, so we will send out and we will do our own thing. And maybe if we look at ourselves, we say the supply is too meager. And we look at the evangelical cause today, we haven't enough resources. And that is certainly a problem that we face. Now, these people weren't looking to the Lord for their help, the disciples here. They weren't looking to the Lord. But you know, we can look at ourselves and we can say, no, we can't do anything. And then notice what else they said. Not only did they say our supplies are too meager, but they said the conditions are too unsuitable. Look at verse 35. They said this is a desert place. They say we're in a desert. Now if we had been in a vineyard, we could have taken some of the vines and fed the people. Or if we had been out in a place that wasn't barren, that wasn't a desert place, there might have been a fig tree. Or if we had been in the town, there might have been a merchant or a tradesman, and we could have obtained some food. But they said, no, the ground is too unsuitable. And how often have we looked at the ground? We say, this is a hard town. This is a hard place. We're in a hard station. Sometimes we go out on the outreach, and we come into an area, and it's a Roman Catholic area. We say this, we'll get nowhere here. Or it's a well-to-do area and people have no interest in the things of religion or the things of God whatsoever. It's a hard place. And how often have we said to ourselves, this is too unsuitable. That person, that loved one that I have, they've always been hostile to the gospel. And we make excuses. Our supplies are too meager. The conditions are too unsuitable. And then they said something else about the condition and the problem they face here. They said the time is too late. They said, now the time is far past. That was drawing on towards night. And the Bible does say that the night cometh when no man can work. And there is a day when, as far as men and women are concerned, it is too late. There is a day when it is too late. There comes a day when we can't reach you. Maybe you've sunken down into the very valley of death. And it seems as if it's too late. There comes that day when men have hardened themselves so much that they will not listen to the things of God. And maybe we say to ourselves, the time is far past. You know, when I look at my family members, the time's far past. It's getting on towards night now. And they have never responded to the gospel, and I don't know whether they ever will. We say to ourselves, the time is far past. But I want you to see that the Savior, even though it was coming towards night, does not give up. And you think of that person lying on their deathbed. The last thing that goes is your hearing. They can still hear. That loved one They're still in the day of grace. You can still speak to them. And it may be that the day is far past, but still it is dusk. And while there is any light at all, you continue to work, continue to speak, continue to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said it's too late. But it wasn't too late. It wasn't too late. Never get the idea of this too late. For dear friend, it's never too late. It's not too late for you, sinner. You may say to yourself, it's too late for me. I have gone on too long. I have rejected too long. It's not too late. It's not too late for you. You can come today and find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not only did they say that it was too late, but they implied it was too costly. Because they said in verse 37, and they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, a penny in those days was the day's wage of a soldier or a laborer. So 200 penny worth was more than 6 months, well over 6 months of wages. Now, you and I would think long and hard about investing more than 6 months of our pay in anything. You would think long and hard before you would put in more than 6 months of your hard-earned cash into anything. And it was a big thing for these disciples to go and spend 200 penny worth of bread. Now, they were willing to do it. They were willing to do it. They said, Lord, is that what you want us to do? But they were sort of implying, you know, Lord, we'll have to spend 200 penny worth. And there are those that sometimes are not willing to give of the best for the gospel. There are, I know, I'm not speaking about this congregation, but there are many of God's people. And they would be loath to part with the cash in order to support the gospel, to support the radio ministry, to support those that are out in the mission field, to support the spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they sort of call you to account. And what are you doing with this money here and this money there? Well, we have to be called to account. We have to be good stewards of the money that the Lord has given us. But nevertheless, we have to spend the money and we have to give out and we have to distribute the things of God and we have to preach the gospel, and that costs. And these people here were sort of implying it was too costly. I hope that thought never crosses our mind as we seek to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be the best that we can do. When we give out the literature, it needs to be the best of literature. When we do anything for the Lord, it needs to be the best that we can do. These disciples were sort of implying it was too costly. And we see the problem they faced. But then notice the proposal they received. The Lord said here in verse 37, give ye them to eat. Now the Lord here was making what was a seemingly impossible command. That was the very thing they couldn't do. They hadn't anything. They hadn't anything to give. And I want you to realize that the Lord in so many ways in Scripture gives His people impossible commands. Things that we can't do. You remember the man who was in the temple one day who had the withered hand. And the very thing that was wrong with him was that his hand was withered and it was bent over and it was scrunched into a little thing. But the Lord said, stretch forth thy hand. It's the very thing he couldn't do. When he by faith began to reach forth that hand, by the power of God, that hand was made a whole and began to stretch out. You think of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they were encamped in the wilderness between Pi-Hahiroth and the sea, and they were trapped. The Bible says they were entangled in the land, and the Pharaoh's chariots were coming down after them, and they would nowhere to go. What did the Lord say? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't go forward. But they stood on the banks of the Red Sea, and as Moses lifted up that rod, the sea parted and they went through on dry ground. God made what seemed to be impossible, possible. And here are these disciples, and notice what they say in the solution to the command. They say, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And I don't blame the disciples. I think that's what I would have said if I was there. They wanted to do something. But they were debating the whys and the wherefores and how we do this and how we get to this. But they hadn't faith in God. They hadn't faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what we are, men and women today? We are conditioned to the mundane. We are conditioned to the mundane. We have got in a rut today. And we don't look to God. Even these disciples, when they had seen all that God could do. And we have seen God do mighty things in the past. But we're still stuck in the rut. And we don't believe that if we stretch out our hand, God will make it whole. If we go to the banks of the Red Sea, that God can bring us through. God is the God of the impossible. God is the God who is able to bring us right through. And the men whom God has used are men who have had faith in God. You think of George Mueller. And George Mueller set up those orphan homes and never asked anybody for a penny. And week by week he went through. And there were times when he didn't know where the next meal was coming from. But he had faith in God. He stretched out his hands. And the Lord said, give ye them to eat. And they said, we don't know how, but we're going to do it anyway. And there were these people. And I'm sure they were wondering what they were debating here. What a lot of energy they expended in debating. What a lot of energy they here they were beginning to think, well, what way will we get at this? And where will we get the bread? And what shop will we go to? And where's the nearest market? I'm sure all those thoughts went through their heads. They needn't have worried. They needn't have worried. Because the Lord had the solution. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And men and women, we go through all the worries about where the money will come from and what we will do. But God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. And we see the proposal they received. The Lord said, give ye them to eat. And notice something else now. The provision they obtained. And you know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. You know it well, how the Lord took the 5 loaves and the 2 small fish. And the little boy had come with that. And he got the people to sit down by ranks of hundreds and fifties. And it says in verses 42 and 43, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And if you look in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 9, you have a little interesting little phrase where the Lord says, of the loaves and fishes, he says, bring ye them to me. Bring ye them to me. Now that was really the solution. They had only 5 loaves and 2 fish. They had nothing really. But the Lord says, bring it to thee. Bring it to me. You know, if we could learn that lesson, men and women, we can't do it. We can't see a solution. We can't force men and women to get saved. But the Lord says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. And maybe we are short of resources, but the Lord says, bring it to me. Maybe we have no money. The Lord says, bring it to me. Maybe you say, the Lord wants me to do something, but I can't speak. Why don't you bring that to the Lord? You say in your heart, maybe the young people here today, the Lord wants me to do something, but I'm afraid. Bring it to me. I remember when the Lord began to lay hold upon me to go into the Lord's work. I said, I can't speak. I couldn't stand in front of a congregation. I couldn't do those things. And for months, maybe years, I did nothing about it because I said, I can't do it. Until the Lord sort of laid hold of me and gave me a good shaking and said, you have to. There's no other way. And maybe some young person here, and God has been speaking to you about full-time service. And you say, I can't. Bring it to the Lord. Bring ye them to me, he says. Bring your life to the Lord.
Bring your circumstances to the Lord. Bring your difficulties to the Lord. Bring ye them to me. That's what the Savior says. And that was the solution. Not some newfangled thing. Not debating about where they were going to get the resources, where they were going to get the food. Not debating about where the market was or anything like that. Just bring it to the Lord. Men, women, if we could learn that lesson. What an awful lot of energy we expend. What a lot of worry we go through because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And then you notice that when the disciples brought what they had to the Lord, it says in verses 43 and 44, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And you notice that the whole multitude went away satisfied. There wasn't one that was left without. You see, the Lord took the weak things. Now, the Lord could have, you know, the Lord that spoke the world into existence could have spoken and there could have been food. But the Lord takes the instruments. Takes the weak instruments. And that's always been His way. He takes the weak things. Just that few loaves and a few fishes. And He uses that. He uses the instruments. He uses you and me. And we are weak things, but in the hands of God, and if we bring ourselves to Him, we can be mighty. We can be mighty. Now you notice what happened to the bread when the Lord had it in His hands. Now it was brought into the hands of God. What did He do with it? This bread and the fish. Well, it says that first of all He blessed it, and then it says He break it. Broke it and blessed it. Now that's how the Lord will use you and me. He will break us and bless us. He has to break us first. He's got to get rid of the old pride. Can't use anything of self. We come with our own self pride and our arrogance to Him. Can't use that. He's got to break us and then He will bless us. And when that happened, the whole multitude were fed. This broken, blessed instrument fed the whole multitude. Every one of them. Now we have a world out there that is unfilled. We have a world out there that is empty. We have people committing suicide. We have people with nothing in this world to look forward to. We have something to give them. We have hope. This is a message of hope. This is a message of redemption and a message of salvation and a message of glory and a whole message of joy. We have that to give them. What instruments will the Lord use? Those that are broken and those that are blessed. And those that are broken and blessed will feed and be used to feed the multitude. Now we have a multitude to reach, men and women. The only way that we will reach that multitude is when we are brought to God, when we say to ourselves that we're going to bring ourselves to Him, and He breaks us and blesses us. That's the solution. Not newfangled ideas. Not some kind of bringing the world into the church. Not any of these newfangled solutions. Just the same way that the Savior met the problem. Just the same way that the Savior solved the difficulty. We've got to go the Savior's way. And so, child of God, today, will you place yourself in the Savior's hands? You know, we wander away today. We have all wandered away. We're not in the Savior's hands. We're not enfolded by His loving arms today. We're out in the world. We're away. But the Lord says, come to me. And He will break us. And I'll not be pleasant. But when He breaks us, He'll bless us. And then we'll be used. Oh, may God help us to come to Him today. The solution, child of God, is that you come, place yourself in the Savior's hands. Will you do that? Will you do that? Will you come to Him? Bring yourself to Him. And let Him take control of your life. Unsaved person in this meeting, you too need to be broken. You need to be broken of your sins. You need to be broken of your arrogance. That's the only way to blessing. It's the only way to blessing. It's the only way to being filled. When you come to the Savior, You come to him today, and he will take you and make you mighty for him. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for the way that the Savior took these instruments, the loaves and the fish, and broke them and blessed them, and then filled the multitude. Oh God, take us, break us, use us. Oh God, how thou dost say, bring ye them to me. Lord, place us in thy hand, that we might be used to fill the multitude that is round about us. Do it for Jesus' sake. Amen.